The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, located right near the North Shore Mall. We've been doing financial planning and providing investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley for more than almost 50 years, I should say. We started back in 1968, April of 1968, and April of 2018, we'll celebrate our 50th anniversary of providing that advice to individuals and families. It's remarkable. I mean, the world of financial planning has certainly changed. The world of investment advice and the way that you need investment advice to help provide for your retirement, for your plans, has ever changed. Think about this. Back in the 1960s, back in the 60s and in the 70s, when mom or dad prepared for retirement, what would happen? They'd basically leave their job after 30 or 40 years working for the GE or something like that. They were entitled to get a pension that would provide them income for the rest of their lives. They would pick up some Social Security, and they would live on that. They would live on something that was called a fixed income. That's what the term, I'm on a fixed income. They are on a fixed income. Yes, you had your Social Security, you had your pension, and perhaps you had some money in the bank. And if you were lucky in the 70s and the 80s, you had CDs that were paying 15 and 18%. And man, that was a pretty good deal. You could draw a nice little income check from that to supplement what you were getting from pension and Social Security and could support yourself just fine. Well, the world today is not quite like that anymore. As you well know, the likelihood of you getting a pension is very slim. I mean, only a very small fraction of the population even gets a pension these days. Of course, if you still work for the state, for the federal government, if you work as a teacher, you will be entitled to a pension if you work there long enough. But most people that work for private industry don't get pensions anymore. They have to deal with a 401k or a 403b or a SEP, a simple. It's all different types of retirement plans that are out there. But ultimately, what it comes down to is you need to figure out retirement on your own. And with 10,000 baby boomers turning 65 every single day, there's a lot of people that face lots of questions. And they need lots of answers because, frankly, they can't turn to mom and dad for the advice because mom and dad have either, one, passed away, perhaps, or two, their lifestyle in retirement looks significantly different than yours. I always find it fascinating when retirees come and visit our office and they say, geez, my kids, they're making more money than I ever made. But if you really think about it, I bet you're making more money than what your parents ever made to. Now, the lifestyles today are a lot different. We don't think about when you were a kid. I was talking to my kids about this. We were on Martha's Vineyard visiting a friend of ours last weekend. And we're sitting with our families and we're talking. And the friend that I was with, he and I were next door neighbors growing up all our lives. And he has done very well for himself, has a nice house down in Martha's Vineyard. We were spending the weekend there and we were explaining to the kids how different our lifestyle was as teenagers as opposed to their lifestyles today. I mean, going out for dinner when we were kids was to celebrate something. You went there, oh, we're going out for dinner for dad's birthday, or we're going out for dinner because mom got a promotion, or, you know, junior graduated from high school, or whatever it might have been. That's when you went out for dinner. If you wanted coffee, you made it at home in your Mr. Coffee. And you didn't run out to Starbucks every single day getting the foofiest, fanciest drink you could find. In fact, I still find it amazing, and yes, I'm a big Starbucks guy. I do run out to Starbucks all the time, but why people stand in line to get these foofy drinks seems kind of silly for me. All I want is just black coffee, and I just wish they would have a little express line just for me. Actually, they do. If you haven't figured this thing out yet, here's a little secret. You want a financial advice in a language you can understand? How's this for great advice? If you go to Starbucks, and I understand Dunkin' Donuts is rolling this out soon. If you go to Starbucks, you can download the Starbucks app, but you can also download the Starbucks Order on Demand app. So what happens in the morning when I get up early in the morning, just as I did this morning, as I hop into my car, I open up my Starbucks app and I place my order for black coffee, just a grande dark roast black coffee. And I hit the button and I hit order and I pull up to the local Starbucks right around the corner from my house. I walk in and there is a cup with my name, a little sticker on it that says Mark. And they go, "Hey, Mark, how are you?" Because I do this almost every day. And it's sitting there waiting for me. No exchange of money because it's already on my card. It's very convenient. So, you know, the lifestyle that we have today is very, very different from the lifestyle that we had when we were younger. And trying to explain that to our kids, trying to explain to our kids that, you know what, I didn't get on my first airplane until I might have been 22, 23 years old. My kids have been on airplanes so many times, they wouldn't know what to do on a bus. If it meant going to the bus stop, they wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't know what to do at the T stop. But if I dropped them at the airport, they know what to do. That's become more of a normalcy these days. Yes, we've spoiled our children. We have a different society that we live in today. The demands on expenses are greater, not because things are just more expensive. It's because our lifestyles are more demanding and require us to spend more money. So how do we prepare for it? How do you prepare for it? How do you prepare in retirement to know that when the check stops, when that paycheck ultimately stops from whether it's the GE or from the local barbershop that you work for, when that check stops, what are you going to do to rely on money? Chances are there isn't going to be a pension. You probably have Social Security. But what else will you do? Where will you turn? How will you invest your money? What we find at Friedman Financial, at my firm, we find people coming into our office almost weekly with a very similar situation. Let me see if I can describe what your situation looks like. You're either approaching retirement or you're in retirement. You're recognizing that you have multiple investment and retirement accounts. You got money at the bank, of course. Sometimes you have multiple accounts at the bank, and I don't understand why. But you do have lots of accounts at the bank and oftentimes at multiple banks. Then you have a variety of investment accounts. You have a few annuities. You got a mutual fund. You got a brokerage account. You have an advisory account. You have an IRA. You have a 401k. You got some old 401ks that are still left at work. Then your wife has the same thing. You have some joint accounts. You heard about the fact that you purchased a trust because you went to some dinner where somebody paid for dinner for you and you listened to them and then they introduced you to an attorney and a trust drafted, but you realize that you have a trust, but nothing's in it. You realize that, folks? If you have a trust, you actually have to put stuff in the trust for the trust to be effective. And I can't tell you how many times people come to my office and they say, "I got a trust." Well, that's nice. But there's nothing in the trust. And if there's nothing in the trust, you wasted an enormous amount of money just to have that trust document drafted. Another thing that I see when people come to our office is they say, "Oh, I have some wills, or I have a trust, or I have these estate planning documents." Have you ever read them? Have you ever read your estate planning documents? We had some situation, it's almost 8 or 9 years ago now. A couple from Danvers came to visit with us. I'd known them for a while. We did some financial planning for them, but we also review estate planning documents as part of our services to do financial planning. And I'm reading through their wills, which was just basically a very simple will. It was what's called an I love you will, basically leaving everything that you have to the spouse. And then after that, to the kids. So the spouse, I'm reading the wife's will and it's reading just fine. I'm going through it, no problem. And normally I wouldn't even think twice to read the other one simply because you just assume it's all the same. But good thing we happened to do that because this will happened to read, it was the person's name and he says, "I leave everything, you know, that I have to," and there was a blank line with a parenthesis that said, "fill in the blank." That's right. It said, "fill in the blank." And then said, "I appoint my executor as," get this, "fill in the blank." The beneficiaries, if the first person doesn't survive, I leave my money to fill in the blank. And you know what's even worse? You might think, well, that's what a template looks like. Yeah, I agree. That's what a template looks like. And most estate planning documents start as a template. But the problem was every page was initialed by the client and notarized by the attorney at the end. It was a blank, useless estate planning document. And what's worse is this client just 2 years prior had had a stroke. Now, he survived. He's come out of the stroke. He's doing fine. But had he died and that will had to come into play, there would have been huge problems. Folks, you got to look at your stuff. Just because you're paying someone to get the job done, you need to review it. It's important to do that. And, you know, that's sometimes what a financial planner, certainly someone in our office does, is when we do financial planning for you, we're not just looking at your investment accounts and in your insurance policies. We're looking at everything. We're reviewing your tax return. We're reviewing all of your legal documents. We're making sure that the house is registered properly. We're making sure that the beneficiary designations on your IRA and your 401k plan aren't still your mom who passed away 30 years ago. You need to update that. Worst, you don't certainly don't want it to be your ex-husband named as beneficiary. You want to be sure you bring those items up to date. A good financial planner will look at all of that stuff over and above just what you have in investment accounts. It's time to get serious as it relates to your retirement. On this show, each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on Dollars and Cents, we choose to provide that information to you. And we try to provide it as current and as relevant as we possibly can to the listeners who are tuning into this show. I hope you'll take some of this advice. I hope you'll implement it on your own. And if you still find yourself saying, you know what, this is just more than I want to handle, or I'd love to meet with Mark in person. With me, I shouldn't call myself in the third person. With me in person, you can do that, and we make this available to you. My office is Friedman Financial. Our office is located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we provide independent, unbiased, fee-based financial planning and investment management services. We always do it with the goal of providing financial advice in a language you can understand, and all of our advice is provided to you in writing. You're welcome to schedule a free initial consultation at the office. It's the summertime, so things do slow down a little bit. So we're welcome to listen and have you come into our office to meet with us. Our phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Now's the time to get serious about your financial plan. It's time to consolidate where everything is. It's time to put into place what will happen in the event one or the other of you pass away. You know, oftentimes we find that with many spouses, one handles the finances and the other has no interest. It's not that they don't know how to do it, they just don't have the interest. But wouldn't it be nice to know that there's a resource to turn to that will help you know what to do in the event a tragedy strikes the family? That's what we do. You notice I haven't spent much time talking about what fund to buy, what stock to buy, what bond to purchase. How to allocate your money. Yeah, all that stuff is very important. And we're going to talk about some of that stuff, frankly, in the next segment. But it's getting your financial house in order that matters. And once you have that in order, when you know where everything is and what everything is worth, where it all stands and how to use it, that's when you become successful at achieving your retirement goals and dreams. We want to help you do that. If you'd like to schedule your free initial consultation, give the office a call, 978-531-8108. Or if you'd like to just check us out a little bit more, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. When you go to the website, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for our free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out each Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to the website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Click on the button at the very bottom of the website where it says sign up for Planning Pointers, and that will land in your inbox next Friday. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, lots of things to talk about. I got this report that just came out from J.P. Morgan Asset Management as of June 30 of this year that shows just how well markets are doing and how poorly the average investor is doing. You're going to want to hear about this when we get back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located right in Peabody, Massachusetts, right near the North Shore Mall, where we provide financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and all of the other surrounding communities as well. We have been doing this since 1968, providing advice to several generations of families. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that do financial planning, but there's not that many that have been doing it for as long as we have. Certainly not in this area. And we take great pride in the fact that our retention rate's around 95%. And many people refer their friends, neighbors, and relatives to our office simply because they know that we're going to be around and we've been doing this a long time. We're independent, we're fee only, and we'd love to be able to meet with you to provide you some financial planning and investment management advice so that you can achieve the retirement that you're looking for. You know, I want to tell you about this story that came across a report that we get. There's a booklet that comes out each quarter to financial advisors. It's called The Guide to the Markets, and it's produced by J.P. Morgan Asset Management. They update the numbers every quarter, and a lot of it is a lot of statistical information, some that would help you, some that would go way over even my head. It's really, really granular type stuff. But then they provide some very interesting reports towards the end. One is called Diversification in the Average Investor. Oftentimes, people are always asking me, Mark, how am I doing compared to the average guy? How am I doing compared to the average investor? Well, you need to understand a few things. First of all, there is no average person. Because what you think you need to spend to support your lifestyle in retirement is different from what your neighbors, your friends, your parents, your brothers, your coworkers, they all want to spend. Let me ask you this. In retirement, if I told you you could spend $3,000 a month, you had $3,000 a month to spend, would that be enough to cover your expenses? Now, some of you are listening on the radio are saying, wow, that'd be great. Others are thinking, well, I guess I could make it work. And there are others that are saying, are you kidding me? Who could possibly live on $3,000 a month? All right, let's change the number to $8,000 a month. Make you feel any better? Perhaps. But trust me, there are still plenty of people out there that are saying $8,000 a month, still couldn't do it. I need 15, I need 20, I need 30,000. What is the right number? What is the right number? Well, let me answer this question for you. People will ask, well, Mark, who's the typical client that comes to work with you? What do they want to spend in retirement? Generally, they're spending between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. That's what they want to spend in retirement, between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a lot of money. Whatever a lot of money is. And by the way, what is a lot of money? What is a lot of money? Let me ask you this. When you think about what you're making right now, think about your job that you have right now. If someone were to ask you, are you making a lot of money? Perhaps your answer is, no, I don't think so. So let me ask you this. How much would you need to make for you to actually be making a lot of money? What would that number have to be? Now, you know that every person that gets asked this question is making a certain amount of money. What's the right answer? Generally, most people will say, well, I would be making a lot of money if I was making twice what I'm making right now. That's what the general consensus says. If you could say, if I'm making twice what I'm making right now, then I'd be making a lot of money. So if you're making $35,000 right now and you said, geez, what if I could make 70? That would be a lot of money. But for the person that's making 70, they're thinking, geez, I'd have to make 140. And the person that's making 140 would think, geez, I need to make 280. So what's the right number? What is a lot of money? My kids will ask us all the time, Mom or Dad, are we rich? Well, what does rich mean? What does rich mean? Yes, we live in a nice house. I bet your house is nice too. What is rich? What does that mean? Rich is not a financial landmark. It's not anything that we should be searching for, a particular number to hit. You know, ING used to do this commercial, what's your number? You know, if you have $1 million, does that make you rich? If you have $10 million, does that make you rich? What if you have $50,000, does that make you rich? I'll tell you, my daughter, who's 19 years old, if she had $20,000, she would feel like she's rich. Everything, you have to put it all into perspective. What is rich? Do you have a great family life? That makes things pretty rich. Do you have the opportunity to go out and spend money at restaurants or buy, for the most part, what you want? Should that make you rich? Do you have the opportunity to take care of other people, to support charities, to do volunteer work, to really help out others? Does that make you rich? You can measure it any way you want. But generally what people want to measure rich with is performance. How much money do I have? How much money am I making? Well, folks, here's the real reality test. Over the past 20 years, go back 20 years, 20 years. Did you know that the average rate of return for the typical investor over the past 20 years is 2.1%? Over the past 20 years, this is according to a report out of JP Morgan, and they put this out every quarter in their thing called the Guide to the Markets. And they update these numbers year after year after year after year, quarter after quarter. 20-year annualized returns by asset class from 1996 to the end of 2015 and moving forward on the quarters, average investor does 2.1%. What does the stock market do over that same period of time? You know what the number is? Well, it used to be people would say, oh, it's 10. Folks, that's 8.2 now. 8.2 average rate of return if you had 100% of your money in stocks. Now, who's putting 100% of their money in stocks? Nobody. Well, maybe some people are, but certainly those that are approaching retirement aren't. How about bonds? What if you put all of your money in bonds over the past 20 years? How you doing? 5.3%. Not bad. What's the average investor doing? 2.1. Well, how is that possible? The average investor invests through their 401k. They put money in their mutual funds. They buy bonds. They buy stocks. How is it that they're doing 2.1% when the stock market averages 8.2 over 20 years and bonds average 5.3%, according to this report from JP Morgan Asset Management that came out in their Guide to the Markets? Here's the reason why. The stock market, the S&P 500, the bond market, the aggregate bond index, doesn't have feelings. You do. When the markets drop, they don't panic. When the markets are doing well, they're not overly euphoric. Indexes are boring. Indexes don't take money out of their accounts. Indexes don't add money to their accounts. They just sit alone in a box and go to sleep like Rip Van Winkle and look every year, 5 years, 10 years, to see how'd I do. They're boring. Humans aren't boring. Humans have feelings. Humans have heart. Humans are competitive. Humans want change. And that is the reason why individual investors perform incredibly poorly when they try to do this on their own. Your best strategy for investing your money is to build a well-balanced portfolio that includes both stock-based investments, fixed income-based investments, and some cash. Rebalance it periodically. That means if you wanted to have 50% of your money in stocks and 50% of money in bonds, and stocks now represented 60% and bonds represented 40% because stocks did really well, that you not sell your bonds and buy more stocks, but you actually sell some of the stocks and buy bonds. It's called buying low and selling high. And we all know the words, but no one really does it. A financial planner, a financial advisor, offers that rational voice during emotional times. And sometimes the emotions are too strong to make a to say, I just have to make a change. But other times, when you think about things rationally, you realize there's no need to make a change. Look, we've gone through some very volatile periods of time over the past, even 8 months. Think about this. The beginning of the year of 2016, the market opened on a downward trend. And for the next 42, 44 days, all it did was go down. And in fact, it dropped. The S&P 500, if you were all invested in stocks, dropped almost 10, 11% during that period of time. People worried about China. They worried about interest rates. They worried about the potential election. Remember, we were going through the Republican primaries and the Democratic primaries, and everyone's wondering what's going to happen. Will the world come to an end? What will happen in South America? Everybody worried, and the market fell, and everyone blamed some reason oil prices are too low. China's not working out so well. They're only growing at 7% as opposed to the 14% that they grew the year before. Things aren't working in America. We're worried about terrorism. And then what happened? What happened after those 44 days? Well, in 32 days, you made back all your money if you did nothing. But for those that said, Mark, I got to get out. Or those that actually, they weren't saying that to me. If you were on your own, chances are you might have wanted to get out or chase something. That's where you lose money. Market timing is a loser's game. There is nobody, find me anybody, who has continuously and successfully timed this market and become rich doing it. You won't find anyone. Not Warren Buffett, not Bill Gates, none of these guys. They don't time the market. They buy quality. They tweak their portfolios. They make intelligent decisions, and they generally leave things alone. And stop listening to people that tell you, well, this time is different. This time is different. It's not different. The situations might present a different challenge, but at the end of the day, the United States is amongst, if not the strongest economy in the world. At the end of the day, people are still going to go to work. At the end of the day, you're still going to need toothpaste, toothbrushes, toilet paper, and a car. Those things aren't going away. And if they do, you're not going to be alone in your misery. There'll be much bigger problems. So how about these people that say, oh, Mark, I got to own gold. Got to own gold. That's the way to go. Well, by the way, remember I told you about this report from J.P. Morgan that showed that over the past 20 years, the average investor has done 2.1%? 2.1% over the past 20 years. S&P 500 has done 8.2 and bonds have done 5.3. Do you know what gold's done over the past 20 years? You're going to find this hard to believe, but gold has actually done 5.2, almost as good as bonds. Almost as good as bonds. But people buy gold with the expectation that, well, if the stock market's no good anymore, that's the term they might use, it's no good, and I own bonds, I own gold, what is it that I'm going to be able to buy with that gold? You're not going to be able to walk into 7-Eleven with a bar of gold and a carrot peeler and just shred off a little bit of your gold to buy a Slurpee. That's not going to work. First of all, 7-Eleven is not going to be working to work for gold. If we go to a gold standard, the whole world changes. And if the whole world changes, well, there's a lot more things at stake than worrying about whether you're supposed to be in stocks or bonds or cash. Here's my advice to you. If you're going to build a portfolio, build something that's built for the long term. Put 60% of your money in the stock market, 40% of your money in the bond market. Not in individual securities, but buy funds, buy ETFs, buy indexes. Meet with a financial advisor and structure something that's appropriate. Because you know what? A 60-40 portfolio over the past 20 years has done 7.2%. Would you be happy with 7.2? I think most people would be happy with 3 or 4 right now, to tell you the truth. What do we think markets will do in the years to come? What do we think is the best positioning for your portfolios and how you should invest your money? Well, I'll share that with you. And so much more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The Disney classic flies into Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater with a spoonful of sugar and a whole lot of magic. This irresistible musical is a fresh fountain of youth that will make many a grown-up feel like a kid again. The quintessential nanny comes to life on stage with Chim Chim Cheree, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and Step in Time. Mary Poppins is certain to captivate audiences of all ages. On stage at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater now through July 31st only. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org. Sponsored by Beverly Hospital, a member of Leahy Health.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we have been providing financial planning and investment advice since 1968. No, not me. I was only 2 years old then. Yes, I turned 50 this year, if you're doing the math properly. And our firm, Friedman Financial, will turn 50 years old April of 2018. We've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley for all of that time. And we've had the great good fortune of meeting several generations of clients. And you know what's really interesting? Many people think, oh, Mark, you've been doing this so long, you must only deal with the super rich. The super rich. Well, if I do, I don't know where they are. I assure you, my clients are far from the super rich, nor are they unable to pay their bills either. Let me give you a little profile of what our clients look like, because oftentimes people say, well, how would I fit? If I were to consider coming to work with Friedman Financial and moving my accounts to Friedman Financial, where would I fit in the whole scheme of things? Well, let me talk to you about our core client. And when I say our core client, there's three different groups of clients that we have, but the biggest bulk of them, 65% of them actually, fit into a group that I call the mass affluent baby boomer. And in fact, I wrote a book years ago on it about the mass affluent baby boomer. Here's how we describe it. Mass affluent baby boomer has probably been married for 20 years or more, usually to the first spouse. Now, I know I'm probably being a little bit discriminatory here as I try to scroll this all down, because I know the second, third, fourth, whatever marriages. But I'm talking to you about the core group of clients that we have right now. So, yes, we have other groups of clients, but I'm just talking to you about this group. The mass affluent baby boomer, married to their first spouse, lived in their home for 20 years or more. They've got good relationships with their kids. In fact, many of their kids are earning enough money so that they're relatively independent and on their own. Periodically, as grandparents, you like to dote on the grandkids and sometimes make a nice gift to the kids, but the kids are not dependent upon you for income. During your working years as a mass affluent baby boomer, you made somewhere between $90,000 and $200,000 as a household income. That's what you made. Over the years, you'd accumulate money. You'd accumulate investment accounts, retirement accounts, brokerage accounts, annuities perhaps, a cash value of insurance policy. When you add it all up, it's somewhere between $500,000 and $2 million. And when you roll in the value of your house, maybe it moves up to $2.5 million to almost $3 million. So between $500,000 and $3 million, that's a sweet spot for what's called the mass affluent baby boomer. The mass affluent baby boomer seeks to spend between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. That translates out. And when I say $5,000 to $10,000, folks, that's after tax. That's not before tax. That's after taxes, $5,000 to $10,000 a month. That's the sweet spot of the types of clients that we serve. Oftentimes, they find themselves that they have multiple financial concerns. Number one is they're thinking, oh, man, I got to figure out how to take the 401k from my work, or I've got an old 401k around. Maybe I have a decision as to what pension options I should be drawing upon. Or maybe I'm worried that my wife or my husband won't be able to handle the finances if something were to happen to me. They wonder whether they should be purchasing long-term care insurance. They need to know whether the investments that they have are suitable enough so that they're structured to provide the income that they need to support their pension and Social Security, if they even have a pension at all. They know that sometimes they might need to help out their kids with a wedding or perhaps a college graduation. They're thinking about potentially moving to Florida or buying a place up north or renting. They just don't know which one. They're wondering, should we keep two cars or should we move down to one? Should we downsize our home? Should we be looking at retirement communities, as it's getting really tough to try to climb those stairs? All of those questions are things that people come to us for. Those are the questions that the mass affluent baby boomer is always wondering. And what the mass affluent baby boomer also begins to realize is that they don't know what they don't know. What I mean by that is there are tremendous assumptions that go on in the world of retirement about what the taxes will be when I retire, how much tax I'll have to pay when I take required minimum distributions from my IRA. When's the right time to take Social Security? Should I apply for Medicare? When should I apply for Medicare? Not Medicaid. Medicaid is welfare. Medicare is the federal health system that's provided to everybody over the ages of 65. Lots of questions to ask. And then what do I do? And this is the big one. What do I do when someone dies? The assumptions and the myths that exist around what really happens when a spouse dies and how you handle the transfer of wealth and all of the operational stuff that needs to happen after someone passes away is so foreign to so many people. Did you know that for the most part, what all the aggravation and the agony that you might have gone through in your will to try to dictate and describe who's going to get what may never come to fruition? What do you mean by that, Mark? How is that possible? I wanted to leave $5,000 to the busboy at the Hardcover restaurant, and I wanted to leave $10,000 to my niece who lives out in South Carolina, and I want $5,000 to this one and $2,000 to this one and $7,000 to that one. Folks, all of that stuff, all of that planning, would you believe, might not ever come true? And no, it's not because you don't have the money. You know what it's because of? It's because many of the dollars that you have might never actually make it to the, quote, reading of the will. You know, you've seen that in movies and books that you've read. There is no reading of the will unless you're super wealthy. You don't go to this oak or mahogany office and everyone they have the fancy china set up on the table and everybody's anxious to hear what Uncle Henry left to the family and the reading of the will. Folks, that doesn't happen. And here's why. For the most part, the vast majority of our assets are held in retirement accounts or annuity accounts or insurance assets. One of the things that's interesting about all of those items is when you filled out the paperwork, you filled out something that was called a beneficiary form. That beneficiary form gives clear instruction that says, upon my death, give this money to so-and-so, to the person that I've named on this form. So think about this. Any of the investment accounts that you have, whether it's a benefit, whether it's an IRA account, a 401k account, an annuity account, an insurance policy, there's been a beneficiary that's been named. Perhaps you named your estate. That's possible. But chances are you named your spouse, or you named your children, or you named somebody in the beneficiary designation. So all of those money, all of those dollars upon your death, never make it to the reading of the will. They never make it to that far. They avoid what's called, they avoid probate. You don't have to deal with that stuff. It goes right to the person that was designated. Now, if you have a joint account with your spouse, well, you know that if you die, your spouse is going to inherit that value of the account. However, let's say you owned an account at the bank, an account at Fidelity in your individual name, and you died. Who gets the money? Well, you didn't name a beneficiary because it's just in your name. So that is where the will comes into play. After it clears through probate, whoever was listed in the will might have a potential, a good potential perhaps, of getting access to some of the money that you had described in your will as to what they would get. But you know, in order for you to get to the will, you have to go through probate. And most people say, I want to avoid probate. So how do you avoid probate if you have stuff that's in your own individual names? Well, one easy way to do it is to add a title that's called a transfer on death, or a TOD. That's the expression. Some people use a POD, payable on death. TOD is the more common name. So if you have a bank account, if you have a brokerage account that is just in your name, and you want to be sure that it avoids probate, you do not need a fancy estate planning attorney to develop a trust for you. You don't need to go to several seminars and spend $4,000 or $5,000 to have estate planning documents drafted. For the most part, there are some that do, but most people don't, but they think they do. All you need to do is go to the brokerage firm, go to the bank, go to wherever it is and say, hey, I'd like to change the registration on my account from individual to TOD. And they'll say, okay. And they'll pull out a form that says TOD, transfer on death, on it. And they'll say, who would you like this money to transfer to upon your death? And it doesn't have to be one person. It can be multiples people. Totally up to you. And you know how much it costs? Nothing. Zero. Nothing at all. All it takes is your effort and your energy to do it. Now, if you work with a financial planner is going to raise that as one of the first and most important issues for you to deal with. No, they didn't talk about whether you should buy a large cap growth fund or a small cap value fund. They're going to talk to you first about registrations, beneficiary designations, making sure that the money goes to the right person and doesn't get locked up in probate, legal fees, and unnecessary other costs. Look, you're working so hard to try to sustain your portfolio, or perhaps build your portfolio. And all we do is we sometimes bicker about what was the internal expense cost on this fund and what did this one cost me. Folks, when you think about the difference in internal expense costs between one fund and another and the actual cost that you'll pay for poorly planning your estate, it's not even close. You can do some better planning. We can help you. Friedman Financial, my firm, does this all the time, and we do it for all of our clients. If it's something that you'd like us to help you with, give my office a call, 978-531-8255. 978-5318108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. As you probably know, we do a newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. It's been landing in people's mailboxes, almost now 7,000 people's mailboxes since March of 2009. Something interesting about March of 2009, that's when the market crashed. Remember the market? The Dow was at 6,000 and change. Think about where it is right now. Significantly higher than that number, right? Well, what you do is you go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. At the very bottom, you'll see a button that says sign up for Planning Pointers. You click on the button, your email address will automatically be put in there. You hit send, and now you get the newsletter. You don't want to get the newsletter after a while, you simply unsubscribe. And I promise you this, I'm not going to use it as an opportunity to have a litany of people calling you and cold calling you and bugging you. We've been doing this for far, far too long. Financial planning done right happens when you're ready, not when when some professional says, oh, now's the right time to do it. You have to feel good about it. You have to say, you know what? Now is the time to get serious. It was fun for a while, but now it's serious. Now it's time to consolidate everything. Try to work with one professional that understands my big picture. When that time is right, we're here for you. And we've been here since 1968, providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley since 1968. And we do that by providing financial advice in a language you can understand. We put our advice in writing. You have access to your information online. We communicate with you individually. You're not stuck into some model that some boilerplate computer software figured out. You're going to get comprehensive financial planning. And if now's the right time to do that, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. All right, we got to take a quick break. I forgot I ended the last segment by telling you where we're suggesting that some people place their money, the allocations that we think are appropriate in light of today's market. I want to share that information with you. I will do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Don't have enough time to go to the gym? Grab your phone and download BenchBro, the hottest finger-tapping fitness app.
With BenchBro, you'll test your reflexes, your concentration, and your finger-tapping skills as BenchBro helps you achieve your virtual dream physique.
This is a fitness resolution you can finally keep. Download our free app, BenchBro, today.
BenchBro.
Available on the App Store
and Google Play.
No membership required.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, our office right near the North Shore Mall. We've been doing that since 1968, almost 50 years. We'll approach our 50th anniversary April of this year. We've been doing this for a long time. In fact, my father is one of the founding fathers of the financial planning profession. So we've got a lot of history, a lot of legacy, a lot of stories, and a lot of great clients that live right here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. Earlier in the show, we talked about the typical client that we look to work with, where they're called the mass affluent baby boomer. They generally have a net worth somewhere between $500,000 and $3 million. That includes their house. That includes everything. During retirement, they want to spend somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. If that sounds like you and you're saying, now's the time to get serious about my financial planning, we'd love to talk with you. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. We can schedule a free initial consultation for you or even send you an information kit just so you can get a better look at who we are and how we operate and how we help clients all over the North Shore and Merrimack Valley. That phone number, once again, 978-531-8108. 800-800-8108. When we last left, I promised that I would talk to you a little bit about how we're beginning to invest money for clients now. I mean, if you were retiring right now, what should your portfolio look like? Well, the honest answer is it depends. That's really the honest answer, because some people will rely on their portfolio more than others. Let's say you wanted to spend $6,000 or $7,000 in retirement, yet $3,000 a month is coming from Social Security between you and your spouse. So now you got to figure out, how am I going to spin off $3,000 a month from my portfolio, whether it's IRAs, whether it's a joint account, whether it's a trust account, a brokerage account, annuity, whatever it might be. How do I spin off $3,000? And is my goal to spin off $3,000 and hopefully leave the principal intact? Or do I not care? Do I want to run the risk of maybe it going up or going down? And also knowing that, you know what, when I die, let's say at age 100, there's very little left, because I really don't feel a need to pass on much of that account to the next generation. You know, more and more people are beginning to look at things that way, because you know what? You also own a house. And people forget about the value that they have in their home, and that gets passed on as a legacy to the next generation too. Secondarily, for so many years, you've been helping out the kids, whether it's providing them with support for daycare costs, taking them on vacations, giving them some financial supplements so that they can continue to live the lifestyle they want. And all at the same time, you're sacrificing your own life in retirement. Now, for some of you, you might say, hey, my goal is to make sure that my kids have a better life in their growing years as I did. And that's an admirable thing to do. But I'll tell you, 50% of the population doesn't think that way. There's half that say, I will do everything in my power to make sure that my kids will always live a better life than I did. And there are others that will say, I want my kids to do well. But if I spend every nickel before I get into the grave, that's okay too. And you know what? There's no right or wrong answer for that. You got to find out what works for you. So how do you build a portfolio that's right for that, for any of those people? Well, like I said, it's different in all cases. But you know what? At the end of the day, it comes down to this. I think right now, people should have their portfolio balanced. Money that is invested, I should say, should be balanced with 60% of their money in the stock market, 40% of their money in the bond market. I know that's nothing new. I'm not giving you some new revelation. But I'll tell you this. We've had plenty of clients over the years that I've been in this business who said, Mark, I want to be super aggressive. I want to have 100% of my stock, of my portfolio in the stock market. I want to buy speculative investments. And then others that have said, you know what? I just want to have 100% of my money in CDs and short-term bond funds. And you know what? There are times when that aggressive investor far, far outperforms the 60-40 investor. And there are times when the market's doing really lousy, when the best performing account in the office is the one that's 100% in cash and bonds. But in almost every 5, 10, 15, 20, 25-year rolling period, the investor that has maintained a 60-40 investment strategy and has rebalanced along the way has done fine. In fact, the fluctuations have been minimized. The ability to draw income from their portfolio has worked for a very, very long time. Even when the markets were down and they continued to take money from their accounts, it all worked itself out. And so people will say, well, Mark, on a 60-40 portfolio, what's the appropriate distribution to take? How much can you take? Well, what you can take and what you do take are two different things. Because oftentimes people will say, well, I want to take 4% of the value from my account, but periodically I need an extra $10,000 or $20,000 for vacations. Well, you're now not just taking 4% of the value of your account. You have to add up everything that you've taken out for the year. My feeling is that if you take out around 5 to 5.5% collectively over the course of a year from your investment portfolio, if you rebalance it well, if you build a portfolio that's constructed of low cost, highly well-managed institutional mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, you are going to do just fine if you manage it appropriately and then you integrate it and make changes along the way. But the key to successful investing is rebalancing. When something is doing well, you want to take some of the profits off the table and add it to something that isn't doing so well.
because everything goes through cycles. I have this report in front of me. It's called Asset Class Returns that goes back for the past 16 years. Another report that comes from the J.P. Morgan Guide to the Markets. What's fascinating to me is if you look at the various asset classes, I'm going to give some of them to you. There's large cap stocks. There's small cap stocks. There's cash. There's high yield bond funds. There's regular ordinary bond funds. There's REITs. There's commodities. There's emerging markets. There's international. All of these different terms that you hear over the radio, over the news. Perhaps your financial advisor shares these things with you. Where's the best place to invest? Would you believe that over the past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of the past 7 years, you know where the best place to invest was in all of those categories that I just read to you? The best place to invest over the past 6 or 7 years, 6 out of the past 7 years, was real estate investment trusts. They performed the best out of the group. However, in years when they weren't the best, you know where they sat? At the bottom as the worst. So that's pretty volatile. Think about this. Last year, 2015, the best place to invest after REITs was large cap stocks. Do you know what the return was on large cap stocks for the year 2015? 1.4%. That was the best place to invest, the second best place to invest. I told you REITs were the best according to this report. They were up 2.8%. Certainly nothing to write home about. Fixed income bonds performed at 0.5% and cash, well, you know what cash did. That did zero. So that means everything else, high yield bonds, small cap stocks, emerging markets, and commodities all performed under 0%. In fact, commodities, things like gold, down 24%. In fact, if we look at commodities over the past 4 years, 2012, 13, 14, and 15. Now, commodities can represent more than just gold. It can represent all different types of investments, from grains to barleys to all different types of items that we just, they're commodity items, cattle, all those things. 2012, 13, 14, and 15. Here's the returns on what you would have got. 2012, 13, 14, 15. For all of those people that told you need to have what's called alternative investments in your portfolio, that's generally these commodity type funds. You were down 1.1 in 2012, 9.5 in 2013, down 17 in 2014, and down 24 in 2015. Guess what, folks? Year to date this year, commodities are not down. They're up 13.3%. No surprise that all of a sudden, you're starting to see all of the folks come back out on television promoting the reason why you need to buy gold. Oh, it's going to be a great investment. Look how much it's up this year. Look how much it's dropped, though. Oh, my goodness. But when you look at all of the various asset classes, when you look at what a 60-40 portfolio would have done over the past, call it, 5 years. Let's go back to 2011. The past 5 years, a 60-40 portfolio in 2011 is flat. 2012, up 12.2. 2013, up 14.9. 2014, up 5.2. 2015, down at 2. And right now, year to date, 2015, halfway through the year, up 4. That's not so bad, is it? You didn't have to pick. No one decided to say, go to gold or go to small stocks, go to emerging markets, go to large cap. You build a well-defined portfolio and you let it run. You know that there's going to be ups and downs, but it's not wild ups and downs. You're not losing 50% or making 50%. Yeah, there's going to be fluctuation, but when you hear that the market is down 10%, your portfolio shouldn't be down that amount. It might be down 6 when you're down 10. But I will caution you with this. One thing that we're very worried about, is how bonds will react beginning in 2017-18. I think bonds are going to be fine for now for the next 12 to 18 months. But once interest rates start going up, bonds, your investment in bonds or bond funds, could be hurt really badly. I'm not talking about 2% drops. I'm talking about 15, 20, 25% drops. And that's because, think about where interest rates are right now. The 10-year treasury right now sells for around 1.5%. That's right. If you give the money to the government to buy a 10-year treasury, you can get about 1.5% on it. Let's say the Fed raises rates 0.5%. Now, that would be an extreme move, so I'm going there, okay? From 1.5% to 2%. That's an increase of, you might think, 0.5%, but that's also almost a 30% increase in yield. 1.5 to 2 is almost a 30% increase in yield. And when yields go up 30%, the bonds have to respond, the value of the bonds that you own have to respond negatively the other way. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to drop 30%, but they could certainly get hurt. They could get hurt a lot. And we need to be cognizant of that. We need to be looking at other income-producing investments, maybe not from bonds, maybe from bank loan investments, maybe from preferred stocks, maybe from dividends, maybe from interest-bearing investments from around the world, maybe from other income-producing type investments. We need to be out there scoping it and looking at it. Because if you're building your portfolio based on bonds, folks, you're in for a very terrible surprise in the years to come. We've been very fortunate. You know, over the past years, bonds have been amongst the best performing investments. In fact, over the past 3 years, you know where the best place was to invest your money? If you want, forgetting about REITs, you know where the best place was? If you bought 30-year treasuries. Now, no one wanted to buy bonds. Remember the news reports that would come out that would say, stay away from bonds. Don't buy bonds because interest rates are going up. Well, interest rates continued to go down. And when they went down, the value of long-term bonds went up. If you are a holder of 30-year treasuries, you have made a lot of money. But don't go chasing them now, because just the opposite is going to happen in about 12 to 18 months. That's my prediction. I could totally be wrong on that. But I'm looking at this thing logically. I'm looking at this thing rationally. We need to be prepared. That's why you need to get professional advice to make sure that you're positioned appropriately so that your portfolio is in line to achieve the successes and the goals that you want. All right, we're out of time. We're going to have to wrap things up. I'm going to be back again next week with more financial advice in a language you can understand. I hope you found a lot of this information valuable. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation at my office, phone number 978-531-8108. We would love to do a complete and total financial plan and update for you. My name is Mark Friedman. I got to get out of here. All the best to you. I will see you next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 4.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.